That's what it's all about. Freedom under natural law. Funnel Conference is coming up in, I had Leslie and then she went away. In just a couple weeks, and we're down to the wire, and it's exciting. And so I wanted to welcome you folks to the End Evil podcast. My name's Chris Jansen, and evil is the destruction of freedom. This is a special live show. I just got home from work, actually. I just took a shower. My hair's still wet. But I'm excited to talk to you guys about Funnel and the presentations we're putting together. We've been doing interviews. If you haven't checked out the YouTube page, check out the Freedom Under Natural Law YouTube page. Maybe we can put the link in the chat in a minute here. But it's pretty awesome because we've been doing interviews with all the upcoming presenters for the conference, and short interviews about what they're excited to talk about. And they're all on a playlist that we'll put together on YouTube, which is awesome. And that being said, we're all presenting too: Will Keller, Leslie Powers, Derek Bartolacelli, and myself. And so we're going to do a little interview tonight on the End Evil podcast about what we're going to talk about. But before we get into all that, let me just welcome my guests, Will, Leslie, Derek. Thanks for coming, guys.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, glad to be here doing this. Excited about this conference.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up. I don't know about y'all. Thanks, Chris, for having
me. Yeah, maybe we could start by a little history, a little Freedom Under Natural Law Funnel history. Let's go back. How far has it been? We're working towards the fifth Funnel Conference. I would have to actually go look it up to find out what the date was of the first Funnel Conference, but I'm guessing it was 2021, somewhere in there. You guys remember? How did it all come about?
Actually, I'm looking at Facebook, propped up a memory, and it was 2022, February 12th and the 13th. So today actually is the anniversary, this exact day where we launched the first Funnel Conference, where it was just the organizers that presented during this first one. So it was very cool. And I'm looking at the memory. Mark actually shared it out on Facebook, February 11th, 2022. So that is pretty cool.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, we met in 2021, but it was like a year later that the idea came of putting together the conference. We actually met in the end towards the late summer of 2020. Yeah, that sounds about right. 2022, which is a good number.
There it is. There's the first flyer.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep. Pretty cool. That was synchronistic. We didn't even really talk about that. And all of a sudden, Chris, you're asking about the date, and here it is. We're literally on the anniversary of the jump off.
That is so cool. Yeah, and I think there was one year we actually did two of them. There was one year we didn't do one. So, but my hope is that we make February, like the third week of February, weekend of February, like our regular funnel event.
Absolutely. I think that's a good time frame, right? Because we're coming up to the real new year. Mm-hmm. So it's a good way to kind of end the year and start the new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things lacking in our society is traditions within communities, kind of like that whole tribal feeling that's missing in modern culture of things we do together to embrace reality. And a lot of times you figure people would do changing of the seasons, people that were farmers, people that hunted, there would be some sort of appreciation for the time of year and the changes. And so we've always tried to look a little bit at what time of year we do things with the Funnel Conference. And also we put some thought into the symbolism. You could see each conference has had certain symbology and words we've used to try to describe what we're getting at, and also to give the presenters sort of a focus, you know? So there's sort of been a progression. I thought that might be kind of a cool thing to talk about a little bit. What happened to Will? Let me get him back in here. This thing's acting kind of weird.
But yeah, we gotta.
There we go.
We gotta keep those proper, you know, traditions alive. Chris, I really appreciate what you said, but you know, just real quick, it seems like, you know, the Hallmark holidays have hijacked that and watered them down, the meetings and, you know, the sacredness of these gatherings and you know, equinoxes and solstices and whatever's in between, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Will or Leslie, maybe you guys want to say something about the progression and the symbology and the ideas behind the conference.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's a funnel, right? That's the kind of the acronym, Freedom Under Natural Law, but also a funnel has its starting point. And actually, it might be good to even talk about why we started the funnel and how that even came to be. During the whole pandemic, it started off simply as one of our friends from the original group reached out on, I believe it was the Natural Law Facebook group, of anyone that wants to get together on Zoom and just conversate. This was right during, you know, the heart of the whole pandemic. And we all kind of being roughly around the same area in California, and there was a few more of us in the beginning. But we would just meet on every Sunday, and it started off as like a support group and, you know, a place for like-minded individuals to connect. And that progressed, you know, like year and a half. And it got to the point where we all were taking action in our own right, individually, in our own public work. And then, it was like, all right, let's come together. We know each other well enough now that there's a level of trust, a level of drive and motivation. Let's create something together. And we came up with the funnel conference, Freedom Under Natural Law. Freedom Under Natural Law is essentially the heart of all of our work, right? This is what we try to convey in different categories, whether it's health, occultism, symbology, spirituality. Everything is derived from that core essence of, to attain freedom, we must understand natural law and align with natural law. So, and that is the funnel, right? So we're captivating, we're putting our creative expression out into the world in the art form of presentations and a virtual online conference to do one thing. And we've been consistent on this message the whole time. And that is to inspire the viewer to take action within their own life. And through that funnel of captivating, funneling it down to responsibility, self-ownership, and activation, and from there, we've had people that have started making content, doing presentations, creating, messages in their own creative style of art form from then. And we like to bring new people on and have some well-known people as well, and also multiple forms of different art, music, paintings and graphic design, and video editing and all kinds of stuff. So,
yeah, we got Soul Expression right now in the chat. Really excited to be here, and we're thankful, and I'm really looking forward to, excited about seeing his presentation. And so, yeah, it's been cool kind of seeing people, the excitement of other presenters and other people that we look up to, and having an opportunity to highlight their work. It's a little pat on the back to people that we care about, right? Because they're doing stuff in the world.
So I'll add that we ended up coming up with, I think, some unique processes, right? We spent quite a bit of time talking about our logo and the title funnel, Freedom Under Natural Law. And Will made the first, symbol, the round logo of funnel, and it's built on the idea of a torus, the toroidal field. And maybe, Will, you could explain a little bit about that and what inspired that
symbol. Yeah, exactly. The torus field is obviously the harmonic geometry of all life, right? And if you look at, and there's many different dimensions or angles that you could look at a toroidal field. It looks like a donut, right? From the outside, it looks like an hourglass shape when you're looking at the negative image of a torus field, which the funnel symbol kind of illustrates that, which that hourglass shape is also the infinity sign, right? It's also a funnel. It's funneling from the top down to the below, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without, etc. So there's a lot of symbology there, and it's really representing the interconnectedness of all life and how we're in this shared reality, and we have a lot in common on all different life forms. And that toroidal field is that that symbol that represents that interconnectedness.
Yeah, it's a great symbol, and I think a perfect name. And then we started to bring themes to each event. I wish we had, maybe we could dig up the posters, because we each event had a unique poster. And we brought in the theme of the trivium into our themes of the events. And so we can see that. And each event has, like Chris was saying, a spirit, right, to it, that then in kind of in a way, whether it's conscious or subconscious, like unified most of the presentations at each event. And it was, I felt it very strongly last year at Tunnel 4. And it's fascinating how people in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, become inspired, you know, based on a word or an idea, and then there's a common thread that generally connects all of the presentations in a very beautiful way. And I encourage people to be there as much as possible on the actual live weekend streaming, because the more that you're watching all of the presenters and listening to the music, because that's another thing that we did, we started to add art. You can see some of Sarah Cross's work right there. And we added music, and that grew, you know, each year, I think, a little bit more, especially the musical piece. Yeah, there we go, the trivium. Beautiful, yeah. Great, great artwork. Will, I think, was behind that too. Funnel 4, Chris had some outstanding art. And, you know, it's been a very team effort. But the main technical work, Will's taken the brunt, Chris next in line, very close. You know, organizing things behind the scenes. Yeah. This was my first presentation ever, Corruption of Care. And the one that got, like, banned off of YouTube.
We had a few presentations from Funnel 1, a good portion of people from our original group. That was their first time doing, you know, public presentations, keynote presentations in that manner. Yeah, Leslie, yours got banned off YouTube. Natural Law Birth got several thousand views in a short period of time. It had a really good response. That was ripped off and banned off of YouTube. All of this stuff is also on Odyssey as well, that people can go check out. Yeah. And all of these replays are available. I like what you said about a group effort. And this is, I think, why we do meet the organizers and tell these stories. We do this every year. It's for people to understand that group dynamics absolutely can happen, right? And what's the difference between many failed groups that you hear about and ours that continues to work out? I think it's because we had that time in the beginning to get to know each other, right? So we started off, it was like 9 people. And again, you know, there's 4 of us here, 3 of us are from the original group, but yeah, so you get to know people and you get to understand, you know, their principles, their values, their ethics, but also time. Right? Time speaks volumes. Time will always reveal truth, and you see how people work, their ethic, who they really are, and we become great friends from that, and we're able to continue doing this this in-depth event for people, right? And it's fantastic. And thank you to all the support that we've had, from the viewers to the presenters themselves. This is totally free. We've had some great donations from people that have helped us out along the way. Most of us are spending our own money. We've had, you know, well-known presenters that, you know, not compensating. It's like you're doing a free piece of art for a message to the public to reach hearts and minds. This is all the funnel conferences, right? And there's some great names: Mark Passio, Richard Grove, Dana Martin, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. All of these people we've reached out to, and we've expressed to them what freedom under natural law is, and they totally agree with it, right? That's like our prerequisite. You have to understand morality and understand what freedom is, truly is. And it's just, you know, it's just great to see people, presenters come together, or even first-time presenters. And we've been there here, right? It's like you can be nervous, you're creating a presentation for the first time, and then they just knock it out of the park. And they do incredible pieces of work. So yeah, it's been a hell of a journey.
I would like to share a little personal anecdotal story. Rewind back to 2020, and I was set to go, was it 2020? I think so. I was set to go to Ohio because Brandon Martin was putting on the conference with, you know, he had Nate Kapp and Douglas Martin. They were all working together, and they were doing seed conference. And they were going to do a live seed conference, and I was, like, pretty fired up. I was like, I'm going. You know, I had the plane ticket. I was pretty excited. I wanted to go see these people in person. I even remember at some point I had, I think it was a Facebook message, I had sent a message to Brandon Martin kind of saying, like, hey, I don't know if you ever look at new people, but I'm someone who I'd really like to create a presentation for an event like yours. And, you know, I sent him like probably too long of a message, you know, explaining to him that, you know, I really like what they were doing and I'm creating presentations and I'm hoping someday to be in something like that, you know, maybe he could consider my, you know, and, he was cool. Like he actually messaged me back. I was just nobody to him, you know, and he messaged me back because I asked him, when I come there, I want to stay where I get to meet people. I want to meet you guys, you know, maybe even Mark, you know, that'd be so cool. You know, I remember being like, I was just the new guy. I didn't know anybody then. You know, I hadn't even met you yet, Will, at that point. That was right after when I contacted, I started getting the idea of going on Facebook, and that was where I met you and then found the Natural Law group. But so all that to say, inspiration is like a fire that can catch, you know, start with a little spark and then, you know, light other little fires. And for me, the seed conference and what Douglas Martin and Brandon Martin and Nate Kapp were doing was so inspiring to me that I was like, when we started meeting, I was like, man, why don't we do something like that? What they're doing, we could do that. We could just do it. And then Will's like, yeah, well, if we did it online, we could definitely do it. And then boom, we were off and running, and that started the whole thing. And now we're friends with those guys, and we go back and forth with them, and they share their work on our conference. And, you know, at least one or two of us is usually in their conference and Brandon's conference with Seed, and just what you were talking about, Will, the inspiration and the integration, has been cool to watch. It's been an organic growth.
Dude, that's what it's all about, man. So, and absolutely, the Seed Conference was that spark for us to do this. If, you know, if Brandon and those guys, I mean, they kind of went through hell getting the actual physical events canceled because of, you know, the whole COVID BS, which
I
made
them
do.
I never got part of the story.
Yeah, many times they just had these venues that were just like, nope, we're not doing in-person venues. Then they decided to do the online, which because that happened, that is what gave us the spark of inspiration to do that. And synchronistically, Brandon, Nate, and Tyler Bloyer, which, you know, was one of the main engineers for the conference, is performing at the Funnel Five. So,
yeah,
it's great.
It is. It's such a great full circle. And then, Derek, we met you in, what is it, 2022? What? And were you watching, you know, did you see for the first funnel? And
I saw the first seed and, you know, like Free Mind Conference, with Ivan, the guy from next door, and them cats and all that. And I was really inspired. And, you know, I've been doing video stuff kind of on my own out in France and Europe and all that stuff for like a decade at that point almost. And I was really inspired and like you know, especially since the dawning of the Rona and all that shit, like that in and of itself, you know, lit a fire up my ass like many other people and wanted to step up and actually do something and be, you know, more in the forefront and, you know, publicly voice theirs, you know, more directly instead of kind of not necessarily beating around the bush, but, you know, just grab the bull by its horns and, you know, enough of this bullshit, right? So, yeah. But, yeah, mm-hmm. It was a lovely time catching up with you and Chris for the first time, being out, you know, I'm from Northern California and, yeah, I got a friend in Oregon. I was staying with her and I was like, wait, I'm zipping by a place where some people in Reading live. Like, I got to see these cats. And then, like, David Rodriguez, and who's been on Funnel a couple times, too. And then doing fucking, like, open mics and seeing you work the door a couple years later. It's just, like, so cool. It's, like, you know, more than just, you know, the folks, like, the family and more, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And dissolving the divide and...
Yeah.
Collide for the good.
Yeah. And I do think it's, like, working with other people is... It's exciting and it's inspiring and I think we can create something that's synergizing, that's more, right? You know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's been true for me. And what Will was saying about getting to know someone over time and then, you know, seeing how they show up. Are people showing up? Are they reliable? Are they consistent? You know, and you start to build the trust and then, you know, the work that you do together becomes more potent. It becomes more long lasting. And the experience for me, you know, Derek was the one who came to me and said, hey, you know, would you like to do like a podcast? And we had both been kind of thinking similarly on a theme of these dialectics. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, taking the risk, taking the leap. And I think that was true for the first presentation, for putting together my first slideshows. You know, it was a big leap for me. I never would have imagined myself doing that or being in a public kind of a speaking role. But doing the interviews with Derek was a huge confidence builder for me and helped me have experience and being able to talk and speak and be spontaneous and all of that. So I just encourage people to get out there and do something, you know, and maybe it's easier to start in some kind of a partnership or a group of some sort, you know, working together.
Hmm. Yeah. And just absolutely. To say one thing after that, Will, real quick, you know, for anyone watching, especially like watching the conferences, like any kind of sporting event and this and that, you have the people after the match or the presentation, whatever, they get interviewed. Does anyone want to interview anyone that you were inspired by? You know, that hit them up. We're not like, you know, secluded in some weird ass, you know, alternate internet land or whatever, you know?
Yeah, everybody, in fact, everybody in the conference is pretty approachable. That's how we were able to approach them.
Mm-hmm.
So, exactly. Yeah, all that being said, you know, I want to spend the rest of the show doing some, like, brief interviews with each of us because each of us are doing a presentation for the conference, and this is kind of like a good chance to do a little sneak peek into what the presentations are going to be about and why we're doing them. And so I think we just do about 10 minutes each, and we'll just kind of, like, do this more instead of a round table. I think we'll do it more like a hot seat style. So who wants to be the brave hot potato to go first? Maybe Derek?
Do it.
All right, Derek, I'm going to put you main screen and we're going to shoot a couple questions at you about
that seat.
All right.
About what you got coming up. Maybe you could start by telling us the title. You got a title worked out?
Yes, I do. And yeah, I should have shared my title card. Look a little blurry. Sorry about that. Ignite the beacons or light the beacons of the flame imperishable. Does that ring a bell of
sounds kind of poetic
or series of books, something like the Lord of the Rings, and much motivation and inspiration that it might bring towards those that are trying to sing proper positive manifestation into this reality and avoiding bullshit fatalities that, you know, are just, you know, brought upon the Matrix and all that bullshit. So questions?
What inspired you in this presentation?
Ever since we had the last funnel conference, I kind of already had this in the cards of something that I wanted to do. I was hesitant on doing this type of a presentation last year, but kind of knowing what we were talking about behind the scenes and gearing up for the next conference, Funnel 5, and igniting that spark and flame, like, it already made sense for me to, you know, bring about, you know, some hardcore Tolkien lore. Representing natural law, of course.
How do you hope your message will inspire or ignite hearts and minds? You know, what do you want to awaken in others?
You know, there's a lot of things within the books and the movies that, you know, correlate, yet the obviously any movie adaptation is going to be a little bit watered down. It's not going to be as profound. And not going to understand what's all going around in that area and bringing it to a 360 degree, you know, with the one eye to see them all. And yeah, what the hell with the, you know, there's plenty of things we can apply towards, you know, the all seeing eye and one world order in regards to Mordor and all these things. But there's so much in regards to the conscious archetypes of the characters, the protagonists and the fellowship and, you know, just how they conduct themselves, you know, the warrior and the king archetypes and the magi and the mentors and all these different aspects of kingdom to the Shire and so many different rhymes and riddles that tell these stories throughout. It inspires the fuck out of me. Every single time that I listen to it or watch it, even if it's been, you know, something that I've listened to or read a couple times over, there's always something fresh. And the more you learn in regards to the occult and esoteric stuff and the mythos, animism, paganism, Celtic, Druidic, all that stuff, it ties in so much more. And I want people to consider creating a new type of mythos or a grand story of our times. You know, this book was made, you know, we're coming up on, you know, soon to be like 100 years, 20 years from now, or something like that. You know, so, you know, Tolkien is only one man. Who are you? Who are you? What are you doing? What is your legacy going to be? What is going to be left standing for others to be gleaning upon and learning and being, you know, really reverent upon one's magus opus? You know, I want everyone to leave something of grandeur in a positive sense by the time they, you know, get too old or crusty to do these things, or, you know what I mean, or die, you know. Because too many of us die too soon sometimes, unfortunately. And rest in peace to Alpha Vuk, Camfer, and other folks, you know, within and outside the One Great Network, and other musicians and authors and other folks that came before us and inspired generations before us. You know, these giants that were standing upon the shoulders of, how can we you know, pay homage and, you know, contribute our parts, you know, for their part from what we've, you know, been motivated and inspired from and learned from, right? So yeah, that was a long answer to a short question.
It was a good answer. Does someone else want to ask the next question, or shall I continue?
You can continue, Leslie.
Okay, so and what action would you like people to take? You may have partly answered this, but what do you want people to do in response? You know, what do you want them to be inspired to actually do in terms of action?
Right, and that's like this, you know, the theme that's been intertwined throughout my mind, all the live long time over the past 365 days, pretty much, since we kind of figured out the title of this conference. Because, yeah, the taking it to the wands of the tarot, or, you know, the fire element, the passion, the what are people passionate about, and how are people trying to, you know, make that their art of the craft, and, you know, keep that refined and keep going and going. That is your story ever unfolding, you know, your, you know, kingdom within. How are you being the master builder of yourself, first and foremost? You know, being the gold miner for that alchemical gold, get the fucking lead out and all that shit, you know? And you have to understand, when you think about the books and all that stuff, you take it back to medieval times. They didn't have all this, you know, luxurious stuff. You couldn't, you know, turn a switch and you have lights and electricity and all that stuff. They told the time by recognizing the placement of the sun in the sky. You didn't even read about sundials and that kind of shit. How many people can actually do that in real life right now? I actually can, to a good degree, because I've just been in such solitude for a good portion of my life, the past like 15 years. And it, you know, it is part of that, you know, journey of the hermits, but we can't be stuck up in there for too long, because there is that, you know, if you understand the tarot, there's the reverse side of every single card, whether the major, minor, arcana. So be it as you wanna, we all need to take some kind of action. You know, everyone in Middle Earth needed to take action to whatever degree. Otherwise, you know, he'd demise, in a sense. You know, even the elves that were kind of trying to go to, you know, the Grey Havens and just kind of skip off like some New Agers in the 5D or whatever the fuck, you know, like a lot of them still stayed to, you know, fight off their own and, you know, defend this land, because there is a lot of good to fucking fight for still. And we don't want to give up this realm ever. Whether Middle Earth and Midgard, or, you know, Gaia, whatever you want to call it, right? Think about it. But I might have went over my time, but who knows?
And where can people find your work, and where should they begin?
Ooh, my name, Derek Barlicelli, at, you know, Taplink or the One Great Work Network. Leslie, you and I have almost got 100 episodes. We'll get there sometime after some hiatus. But Dissolving the Divide. I have my channel that I've had from the get-go, Awaken Ya Mind, Awaken Y-A Mind, one word, spell that like that. And I got a lot of stuff going on. And I hope a lot of people that motivates them and inspires them. And you're actually motivating yourself. And you're drawing from thousands of different aspects of inspiration, because there's billions of people on this earth. Who are you inspired by? How are you able to, you know, apply that towards, you know, what your craft, or, you know, your thought process, or the way you go about interacting with people in the environment and everything? What is your relationship with nature, yourself, your family, your lineage, and so on and therefore, and such and such.
Right on. Well, we're looking forward to seeing your work, Derek. It's going to be exciting.
Cheers.
Forward to your presentation. Do you have any other last things you wanted to share with people before we go to the next interviewer?
You want to hear a quick little poem?
Sure.
It's going in the presentation, but why not? Because this is for the motherfucking Shire. Trekking through Middle Earth, wind, and fire. Avoiding the pitfalls of devilish desire. On a hero's quest, going down to the Mount Doomed Wire. Pushing beyond all mental, emotional, and physical limits like a Maiar. You have to think in terms of the Istari, Gandalf and shit. Needing no rings or fancy things to truly inspire. Courage in the hearts of those calling upon a power that's higher. But actually, it's your eternal life force within that never tires and is what will see you through life's hardest trials. I commune and stay attuned with the universe. That's how I conspire. you know, when you respire, breathing in, commune, and in tune with, you know, things that are aligned to the divine and all that shit. And because I won't retire because my soul is on a roll with the flame imperishable. So I won't grow tired from all the darkness that I transpired. And voila. Thank you.
Fire.
Fire. Loved it. That's great.
Based. Based, bro.
And just a side note here to get everybody even more excited is Corey Enderlaw is also taking inspiration from the Lord of the Rings in his presentation. So
I love that, man. We as a culture, the mythos, the modern mythos is just really lacking, as Derek elegantly expressed. Yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, I think next up we got Leslie. I'm going to make you big screen. And I think Will's got a question for you.
All right. So what are you, Leslie, planning to share at Funnel 5 Ignite?
So my title is The Process of Internal Monarchy, Activating the Gift of the Great Cosmic Mother. So this is about internal work, self-work, inner work, shadow work, whatever you want to call it. Bringing in the inspiration that I've received from reading and learning more about the archetype of the Great Cosmic Mother, and ultimately the mother of all, the mother of life itself. And I correlate her with natural law and being this sort of bi-gendered energy of both will and love combined together. And really talking about, I think, what a missing piece in our general conversation, which is about the subjective aspects of ourselves and how important it is that we become aligned with our subjective and objective capacities. And that, you know, my work, this is really emerging of my work as a clinical social worker and psychotherapist with my ever-growing understanding of natural law, and bringing some of the skill sets of my work and how I help individuals look at themselves and start to see the ways that we sabotage our relationships and sabotage our own goals, ourselves from reaching our goals, and how we can apply that to this quest for freedom and our ability to embody natural law in the world, and how it connects to our relationships. And the idea of relationships is multi-leveled. It's our internal relationship within our own mind. And I'll be pulling on a variety of sources, but including internal family systems, which is a therapeutic modality that I have been practicing. And it's helped me to really understand much more deeply how the subconscious plays a role in our everyday lives, and how we are all really expressing and acting in so many ways from the subconscious. And it's these subconscious, unconscious feelings and thoughts that really are blocking our progress as a community who wants freedom. It's blocking our progress in of awakening, you know, throughout this whole, you know, world. And so it's to me really a key topic, I guess.
Fantastic. You know, just an antidote is that you always come through with just profound feminine energy and feminine knowledge in even your past presentations of Funnel. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be extremely empowering. Now, what are some of the main markers that inspired you to want to bring this message forward?
Well, I think one, it was my motivation to become more authentic and integrated within myself, right, in what I'm teaching, what I'm talking about. And in my work, you know, I've been doing, you know, some work in the social work and mental health field for 35 years or something ridiculous like that, and gaining in my own depth as a clinician. And what it has done is helped me to understand natural law as well. It's helped me understand the law of freedom. It's helped me to understand the importance of relationships in when it comes to natural law principles, and how the mental health and the emotional health is essential to learn in if we are going to succeed, you know, to be free people. And the Kybalion, I'll be weaving in the Kybalion a bit, and you know, the Kybalion very much is teaching us, is telling us about our own psychology, and it's giving us hints and clues as to how to be self-led, to develop internal monarchy. We need to understand these eternal principles and how they operate in ourself. So I'm going to be weaving through some of the hermetic principles. And really inviting people to look at themselves. You know, I think another inspiration is just my own frustration at looking at how people are not working together. People are working against each other, or you know, just having trouble sustaining their own consistency and emotional health, you know, in the midst of what's happening in the world. There's more division, divisiveness, and just emotional unhealth, you know, than ever before. And we have to look at ourselves and how we're contributing to this, you know, as above, so below. And what we're seeing in the world is a reflection of the minds of individuals. And what we're seeing in our own communities is a reflection of our own minds. And if we're not able to unify around the most important things, then we're failing. And why? It's more than willpower, okay? We have to look at our emotional lives, our psychological patterns, and discover ourselves, how we are being out of alignment in mind, body, and spirit, you know, so.
Yeah, fantastic. And you definitely, like, rolled nice and fluidly into those next two questions, but what's the spark that you want to awaken in people, the big takeaway from your presentation and your message?
One, I want people to have to come out of there with hope, you know, on some level, and knowing that there's something that they can do, and it's really about self-work, and that everyone's self-work is so important. And I hope that people walk away, you know, kind of seeing themselves more clearly. And that's not always feeling good, right? I actually don't want you to feel super good, sadly, sad to say, you know, because I want you to see your own inner contradictions, but be motivated and inspired to do something about it and to have a direction to go. You know, 1 hour is not nearly enough for me to really talk about the process in the depth. I'm going to be sharing an actual, you know, I'm going to talk about process. And giving some guidelines and steps to do internal work and internal process, so that when you start to see the dissonance within yourself, that you know that there's a path you can take. And it is one that is loving, because that is what the mother is. The mother is loving, and love has both compassion and will. And there's the natural law principles, the moral guidelines of the universe are there as the bumpers and the guide, as we're bringing, you know, compassion and care and curiosity to the parts of ourselves that are out of alignment, and to be able to be more empowered and courageous to open up those places that we've been hiding, that we've been avoiding, and we all have them.
Fantastic.
Not me. I'm perfect. I don't have any problems. Hey, I'm going to bring everybody back in. You know, we got a good question in the chat. Someone named Request Truth said, how is learning the natural law principles beneficial to manifestation? You want to field that one, Leslie, before we end your turn?
Well, yes, because that's part of what I address is manifestation. You know, we're trying to manifest freedom. We're trying to manifest peace, harmony, you know, positive relationships, thriving. And in order to manifest, we need alignment. We need alignment within ourselves. And so I'll be talking about psychological parts and how it's very natural that we have compartmentalization within our psychology, within our minds. And compartmentalization happens at all levels of life and nature. And yet, under duress, trauma, stress, those compartments become more rigid and much more divided, and the communication between people becomes fractured, and we are all, if we become disconnected and erratic and contradictory in our own lives, and if we're not in alignment, we're contradictory, then we are not making progress. We're going to be spinning in circles. We'll be two steps forward, three steps back, one step forward, two steps back. And we could look at our lives and see many ways that's how, you know, our lives have been. That's how the world history has been, you know, with far more steps back. And there's a lack of alignment here. And that's what we'll be talking about. That's one way to look at it.
Great answer. And then real quick for people, if people want to go deeper into your specific work after the event, go ahead and plug your links where they can find you.
So on the One Great Work Network, everything is there. So that's pretty easy. I have a website, livethrive.life. That's, you know, got a lot of stuff on it. I have a YouTube channel, Odyssey Rumble. So it's best, probably easier to go to the tap link. And then, of course, our Dissolving the Divide interviews. I did some collaboration with the Girls Club. And I'm also doing a project called Health Revealed, where we have some pretty in-depth presentations about health and how it relates to statism. And we're doing an interview series right now. So there's some really good interviews up there on the Health Revealed channel as well.
Yeah, Leslie's been doing a lot of work in the last couple years, so there's a lot to see.
Yes.
And speaking of big work, Will, you're up next, and Will just got done doing a fantastic presentation at the People's Reset. So if you haven't checked out that yet, folks, go to thepeoplesreset.org, and there's a lot of other great speakers, but you definitely want to see what Will has to say. But
that was a fantastic event. So a big respect to Derek Bros to throw an in-person event like that. The seventh one. I mean, they had the level of tech was just incredible. And I mean, it went smooth. I don't think the majority of people can't comprehend. They don't know what goes into an in-person event on the technological aspect and everything. The groups of people that have to coordinate. I mean, we're in Mexico. A good portion of the attendees only spoke Spanish. So there was the translation crew where you could get headsets and everything was translated English to Spanish, vice versa. I mean, it was fantastic. So Derek Bros, great job, man.
Yeah, we got some big shoes to fill putting conferences together, but at least we're doing it.
That's right. And
Will, you've done some pretty amazing presentations at past funnels, including your live presentation right during the conference, which I love. But what do you got in store for us this year?
Yeah, so, I started doing an elemental series about a year and a half ago. I did the Spirit of Water. Highly recommend people check that out. But I love the elements in itself. So this conference, Funnel 5 Ignite, the theme is, you know, it's very fiery, element of fire. The 2026, Chinese New Year is the fire horse. So the whole year is a fire energetic that is kind of coming in with the alignment. So I thought it was fitting for me to do the Spirit of Fire. And eventually I'll do all the elements ending on the ether itself. But that will be very scientific and metaphysical. So we have to build up to that. So this one, the Spirit of Fire, what does that even mean? And I'm quite literally talking about this base level of reality, of consciousness, of natural law, which is elemental, right? This is obviously an attribute of collective divine consciousness on itself, is the elements. The elements have been expressed in many ways, but it's pure expression. It's pure energy. It's an attribute of energy itself. And we have all of these elements within ourselves. And some people have an imbalance, a balance, a skew to certain elements, certain combinations, etc. But understanding what fire is on all levels, the metaphysical, the cosmic, the psychological, the emotional, the physical, and in the material world as well. Fire itself has been a representation of creation, of the divine spark, of unity, of freedom itself, of pure chaos, of renewal. Right, these are all descriptive words of the attributes and characteristics that define fire. Fire is, all of the elements are a part of objective reality. Right? If you don't understand that fire burns, then you are obviously, you're missing a huge part of objective reality. Of course it burns. Does it need your belief? Does it need any kind of religious aspect or dogma? It just is. Fire is hot, it burns, right? So it's this pure expression of nature that I'm going to dive into, and on all of those levels that I mentioned. And I think it's very fitting to understand, because fire and how it relates to freedom and the unity that goes along with that, every culture in the world has gathered around fire ceremony. Why? There's a reason for that. Because it brings people together to the light, to the heat, for philosophy, for ideas, for retribution, for working out solutions and issues to problems. But fire must be above all. It must be understood and respected. If you don't respect the objectivity of fire, it will consume and it will burn everything to the ground that it touches, right? So it's very interesting that the social engineers, they use the symbolism of these elements and they use them for their benefit, right? They invert nature. So when you see a word like anarchy, what's the first element that comes to mind? For normies, right? For the ignorant masses, it's the burning down, the burning of cars, the burning down of cities. You just want to burn the world down, right? So that's the inversion of an understanding of how powerful and significant the element of fire can be. In reality, in fact, in truth, anarchy, no masters, no slaves, what is real, true freedom is the respect and harnessing of fire itself, the gathering of humanity under morality, under principles, and coming together around that fire circle. So that's in a nutshell what the presentation is going to be about. So I'm going to go through the metaphysical, the physical, the psychological, the alchemical, and break that down, because it's important that we have even a basic understanding of this base, fundamental, foundational level of nature and ourselves. And it definitely starts with just pure expression of the elements.
Inspired by fire.
There you go. Inspired by fire.
Yeah. And you put out a lot of inspiration the way you speak. And that is really the fundamental flame behind this conference, talking about the spirit of the conference is inspiration. So maybe you could talk a little bit about inspiration, how you hope to do that, how you hope other people can do that with what they take away from this.
Yeah, inspire itself, right? To take air in, to take that air element in. What does air do? It fans, it feeds the fire of the spirit, of willpower, of drive, of dedication, of passion. And that's what the Funnel Conference is, right? That we are trying to inspire people, trying to breathe into them knowledge and information and creativity so that they can take that within themselves and find their care, their willpower, and act within their own capacity, right? So that's what the inspiration of understanding what fire is. And it's very active. I think 2026 is going to be a very active year all across the board for the social engineers, for people that are already you know, pushing and creating. It's time to take it to the next level. And, you know, I'm a realist, but I'm also an optimist, and I'm pragmatic too. So it's like we need to go, feel that pressure, and hit those markers, those small goals that lead you to the big overarching, you know, highlight chapter goals. I'm not one. I don't waste my time on, it ain't going to happen. You know, it's fuck that. That's not what fire is about. Fire is what I can do within myself and the responsibility and the accountability, and I'm going to do it. And then we'll see what happens. You know, it's like, so that's the kind of inspiration I want this presentation to do for people. And I think it's just perfectly fitting for Ignite.
Yeah, you're heating me up with that talk, and then leading right into the next question too, in terms of where you were talking about small things, like what are some actual things? Are you going to talk about some things people can do in their lives to like get closer towards truth, freedom, natural law? How do they actually do that? You got some ideas and for people?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it starts with knowledge, right? It's something I talk about a lot in all my presentations, that is a natural law principle. Awareness reveals choice. So what is pattern recognition, right? It is it's information. And if we want to raise our awareness, we need to take in a higher clarity of information. And just understanding that clarity of what the fire element is, we can see this within ourselves and within the events that happen around us in the external reality. But of course, I'm definitely going to give practical applications and techniques to generate, to harness the flame within ourselves, to generate that willpower, that fire element, and then apply it, right? There's many methods. Just as a candle, one little flame, right, could set off a whole house, can tip over, hit carpet, and then the whole home goes. That little candle can light other candles. So that respect of what human potential is must be understood, because when someone says, oh, I'm just one person, what can I do? We've seen all throughout history, one person changed the world, right? Nikola Tesla, Walter Russell, all kinds of people can do that. And I'm not selling at people on, oh, that could be you. But what I am selling at to you, telling you, and going to educate within this presentation is your potential and how to activate and reach inside of you and activate that potential. And that is with the flame of truth and the flame of fire itself and activation and drive. And anyone can apply this and utilize this element, because it is there. It's there within everyone. It just depends on how you are nurturing it and how you are reacting and responding within your own internal ecology.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we've got Chris Youngblood in the chat. Hopefully we could get him to read a poem and funnel. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
If people want to, I guess, you know, one key thing you would like people to take away from what you have to say, if they forget everything else, what's the one thing you want people to take away?
I think the kind of the brunt of my work with kind of the motto that I've embraced, it's like my tagline, simplify the profound. Like, the world operates in the occult, in the hidden knowledge, right? It rules the world, it runs the world, and it operates within your own life. So it's only hidden because people aren't looking at it. So if I can shine some information, some awareness to this knowledge that is all around us, that we can observe and use our own capacity of logic and reason and intuition, right? You don't need books or anything like that. You could do that in your day-to-day life. It takes a certain type of mindset. But if I can assist someone in this foundational information and then help someone activate, that's the takeaway. So just pure inspiration and drive is what I hope someone takes away from that.
Right on. Well, people, check out willkeller.com. Like I said, check out the most recent People's Reset. Anything else you want point people towards besides freedomundernaturallaw.com, Will?
Yeah, sign up for the Freedom Under Natural Law updates, and we'll send out emails and replays and a lot of good presenters. Seeing these presentations come in, it's like, oh man, this is going to be a really in-depth, robust conference with just information. And and I just kind of, I hope people come check it out. So absolutely. And then my work, willkeller.com, is my hub. You can get to everything that I do from there, including the One Great Work Network.
Right on. Well, I guess that...
We need to interview you.
That leaves me. That's all I will.
Yeah, I love this full circle round robin table of interviews. And we're all keeping it true, and we kind of do what we do. Quite seasoned at this point, brother. And Chris Jansen and Evil Podcast. Yeah. What was your inspiration of the idea, the thought that came about what you wanted to present for this next Freedom Under Natural Law conference, brother?
Well, I'm always brewing on an idea, but most of my ideas come from what I see going on around us and the conversations I have with people. And a lot of that comes from the fears and anxieties and concerns, right? And I feel like we're in a crazy time right now. And so I decided to call my presentation Finding Center in the Apocalypse, because I feel like we're living through an apocalypse. And I'm going to get more detail in the presentation about what I mean by that. But I feel like a lot of people you talk to, even if they don't understand quite the depth of like what Will was talking about, the realm of the occult, or they haven't really looked into really how bad Satanism is and really how entrenched it is in all the leadership of our world. And, even if people don't get into all that stuff, they tend to have this feeling that things aren't going well, right? Like, I feel like it's more common that people are starting to recognize things are unraveling, things are coming apart, things are coming to a head. And so my thought with this presentation is to kind of provide a guide for people that maybe someone's at where I was, when I first started doing all this research and I was concerned about 9/11 and geoengineering, and I was worried about all these conspiracy stuff. And then I bumped into natural law, and that opened a lot of doors for me, and it'll put a lot of puzzle pieces together. And so I hope to provide that opportunity for someone else who might be on a similar journey that I was at that time in my life.
Hell yeah. And I really like your title. It's really intriguing. You know, a lot of people might already think like I'm, supposing along the lines of, it reminds me of, not supposing, but, it just reminds me of, being in the eye of the storm, it's like the Ragnarok, the apocalypse, not the apocalyptine in a sense of just like the unveiling of the falsehoods of stuff, but just kind of like the Kali Yuga of things in a sense. It's tumultuous out there, being around the Matrix and all that stuff. And I love how, just trying to take it back, with the scales, trying to stay balanced, amidst all this stuff. So I'm kind of curious on, you want to give us any kind of tidbits of...
you're actually providing some pretty good little hints there. You're getting into some aspects of my presentation. The scales are an important aspect of symbology that I'm going to talk about. And, the meaning of the word and etymology. We had somebody, a smart guy in the chat, who's kind of already on to the idea. And a lot of people, if you do take the time and look at where words come from, it opens doors. And the interesting thing about apocalypse is it's all about opening and uncovering that which has been hidden or covered. And when you really look into what that word means, and I think really the depth of the situation is that we're living in a very materialistic realm. And not only that, but materialistic society, materialistic psyche of society, where I think there's been different times in history you can see where, for instance, you know, someone writing a book by candlelight with a quill pen. Imagine the patience that would take, right? As compared to expecting your database to just pop out all these numbers and letters with an AI formula. You know, the world has changed dramatically. And there have been times where people had to have a lot more patience just by virtue of, you know, the reality of the situation. They had to use a quill pen. There wasn't something to just print it out for them instantaneously. So that patience and that time between things and relationships between other people created a whole different scenario and situation that we're in now, right? Where I think what has happened with this degradation of patience, with this degradation of relationships and communities, we're so fractionalized in the modern world, it's really easy for the authoritarians to constantly just shock people with bad news and traumatic events and keep them in this sort of base mind, kind of lower minded, just decision making based on needs and wants and what we call the lizard brain, right? It's harder to like think about big thoughts and what should we do as a humanity, or where are we going in the big picture when, you know, you're just trying to survive through another day. So all that to say that the modern psyche is wrecked with trauma and distractions and living in a world that's super material based. And so we need to reconnect with the spirit, the divine, what really matters.
Hell yeah. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to get into it on your presentation, but you want to throw any quick little sneak peeks of ways that you keep yourself balanced amidst, you know, all this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's definitely...
I know you got a cool routine and you work out and, you know, you do your breath work and get those icy cold baths or, you know, dips, whatever.
I've been kind of lacking on my cold dips. not having that pool in the backyard. Missing that. But I still do, yeah, regular breathing routine every morning, most nights. Push-up, self-defense stuff. You know, and that is something I've talked about in every presentation I've made to some extent. I've tried to mention the importance of, you know, meditation, whether it's mantras. I mean, I remember going through, like back when I'm describing, you know, when I first kind of came to certain realizations, it's pretty confusing. It does feel like you're in a whirlwind or a tornado when you're having to question all your formerly held beliefs, right? And that's what we're asking people to do. So if we're putting in people in that position, they're going to feel pretty out of control. They're going to feel lost at certain times. You know, the long night of the soul can be weeks, months, right? As we re-question, what am I doing here? Why am I even here? You know, is there anything I'm doing worthwhile? You know, and maybe you've been making a lot of bad decisions up to the point where you come to realize these things. And then what do you do about that? You know, that guilt, that shame, right? So a lot of the work that we all have to do is the day-to-day finding our center, finding our peace so that we can actually be of service to others. And so that involves keeping your body strong, keeping your mind strong, and keeping your psyche strong. And really a proponent of finding some times in your day where you do some sort of regular practice, whether it's breathing, whether it's meditation, mantra, yoga, these type of things, reading, writing. Yeah. Good stuff, Derek.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Anything else you want to share about your presentation or just kind of like where you're coming at in regards to the whole theme of, you know, sparking that flame, the ignition, motivation, inspiration, and you know, a conscious sensation.
estimation of the situation, here's my recommendation.
Yes.
Here's my explanation of the recommendation of the situation. You got to get in that vibration of the soul. What really the big thing that for me is context. I've been coming back and forth to this word over and over, context, context, context. We have to put things into context, right? And especially when we're talking about big things, like all the people in the world, all the people, you know, need to do things different, or they, you know, there's always these big statements about they being the dark ones who are controlling things, you know, and that they gets tossed around. So what are we actually doing, right? We're trying to put a message out, and we're trying to take advantage of the situation that has, this is something I put out in my presentation. This probably has never existed in any time in history that we ever know of, where the amount of accumulated information is as available as it is now. There's never been so many modes of communication that we know of as there is now. So we're in an unprecedented time. So we're recommending to people, before things get worse, which they're going down this path of getting worse, anybody in positions of authority, the power is being consolidated and centralized, right? And then we have technology and AI to where we see a movie like The Matrix that shows all humans just being like food for computers, basically. And we know that's not not just a sci-fi movie. It's a possibility of where we could be going as a race if we don't hold on to our individuality, our choices, our freedom. And authority doesn't care about that. So this religion of authority is destroying us. And in the context of the world we're in and the situation we're in now, that is the topic that matters, is authoritarian belief system, like that creates the space for something like government to do the worst and most heinous damage being done to humanity at the largest scale, is people submitting to authority and believing in this belief of authority. And so the context of what really matters, a lot of the stuff people are talking about and arguing about and bringing up on social media on this great vast network, is not really the main situation that we need to be talking about. We need to be understanding, how do we work towards freedom? What is a right? Why don't we understand rights? How come most people have lost an understanding of rights and the spiritual dynamics that are more real than the material world?
Well said. Can I ask you one last question?
Sure. You got that natural law?
Yeah. Yeah, brother. But, it's actually piggyback off of, yeah, he's got that one in the chamber, but, you know, you brought up a good thing that, you know, made me think, you know, do you have, something in your presentation? It could just be a yes or no question, you know, no spoiler alerts, right? But, you know, striking a balance between the, you know, reality and the digital world and, you know, the dystopian aspects of that trajectory type of thing.
You know, that could be a whole presentation in itself. And I would also recommend people check out your Funnel 4 presentation with AI, artificial intelligence. That was a very cool take you had on that.
But, thanks,
yeah, I mean, the cool thing I did in this one was I, ahead of time, I watched some movies. I went on the internet and I just said, what movies are about, you know, like these apocalyptic events? And I made a comparison to Pandora's Box, and we'll get into Pandora's Box. But any movie that had stuff about Pandora's Box, ahead of time, I went and watched just a few of those movies as a fun research project. And so there's a little bit of movie commentary in there. So we got a little bit of that going. But yeah, check out my work, folks, and evil.life, and go to freedomundernaturallaw.com. And if you're not on the email list, get on there. And if you haven't donated, go put a donation in. That helps keep this stuff rolling into the future. We just had a really amazing donor help us out, and that we're so thankful. That will pay for the future of the website. And
website upgrades. Shit's not cheap.
Keep things going. So thank you, folks, who have donated. And yeah, that's the interviews tonight. Thanks, guys, for joining me on the podcast. I've been a little bit absent in the last few weeks with the End Evil podcast due to preparing my own presentation and dealing with all the aspects in the material world of life. So, yeah. Any other comments you guys wanted to make before we close up tonight?
Yeah, I just want to kind of reinforce people to go sign up on the email list, but also we have a Telegram channel too. That's like the official chat where people can go in there and stay updated and mingle with the funnel community, the funnel folks.
Yeah. And I encourage you again, you know, to watch the pre-interviews with the presenters because they're very inspiring. I started watching the ones that I didn't do and got really pumped up and excited and looking forward. And then while you're doing that, you know, share them, share those interviews, share the logos, the media, the posters on your own social media, tell your friends, and then show up Saturday morning and just have fun with it, you know, have a watch party, have it on as you're doing stuff and list and participate in the chat. Yeah. It's really fun.
Definitely. Yeah, this is about, you know, showcasing these presenters. There are people doing the one great work that need more recognition, need shares, you know, need their content to go out there. And it's fantastic. You know, there's many authors and, you know, film directors and all kinds of stuff. So that's what we love to do, to showcase these warriors in the field. So like Leslie said, share. Watch the presenter interviews and then, you know, share the images, download them, post them on your social platforms. That would really mean a lot.
Thanks, Chris, for hosting and good as ever to hang out with y'all.
Yeah, and thanks, everybody in the chat. Normally, I like to try to keep all the little chat displayed on the screen. I wasn't keeping up very well tonight because we were kind of concentrating more on the interviews, but thank you guys for participating. I always appreciate when people take the time to, you know, write something down and let us know you're out there. That's part of what helps, like we're talking about, inspire, build some level of community and tribe. And, you know, ultimately this whole work is not going to be done alone. You know, we all have to do the self work alone. We all have to make our moral decisions alone. That being said, to change the dynamic of human slavery in this world, we need each other big time, yo. You know, we need you, and we need you to help. And we need your brothers and sisters and cousins and friends. So bring people together, create a watch party for the Freedom Under Natural Law Conference. Invite a few people to your place, put it on the big screen, pop some popcorn, right?
9 days away, 9 days Woo! Away, Funnel 5, on the 3-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah, the 21st and 22nd.
That's right.
Much love, Soul. Thanks for watching. Yeah. Everyone else.
Yeah,
all
thanks,
right.
Everybody.
Well, I think I can, if I did this right, Derek, you made a little something I can share on the way out here, I think.
Yeah, a little cool outro. Keeping it fresh, no doubt. Yeah.
With the voice of Cynthia Mitchell, no doubt.
It's actually a new one.
Oh, a new one. Oh, I haven't seen this one, but there is.
I don't think
great
any of
one.
Us have seen this one yet.
Wow.
I think Derek just cooked it up.
Wow.
It's an audio, kind of the same thing, but with the.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to push the button to make that come on as soon as I can find that button here. All right. And then, yeah, we'll see you guys soon. And everybody, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. End Evil.
Appreciate y'all.
All right. So,
thank you.
See you here. Window. There it is. Got it. I think. Mm-hmm. It's going to play. Let me try it again. I don't know. It seemed like I had it there. Window.
We're doing it live.
Oh. I'd see why it would happen. I didn't actually push play.
Need some volume.
All right, there we go.
Passion, the will to win, the spark within. Passion, the strength within, the hearts of men. Passion, the drive to press, the strive for best. The rise, you just arrived, the questions driven through passion. The pain, the pain, and love the game. Passion, to break the chain and blaze the flame. Passion, the fight for rights, to love your life. The rise, you just arrived, the questions driven through.
Let's shine light, amplify. Sight, let it multiply. No inhibition, that sets the mission. Releasing your soul and letting it fly. Sonically born, spiritually warm, lyrically heated and mentally sparked. Bursting the flames of consciousness, transcend the flesh and stoke the heart.
Come on, we need all souls on deck. Everyone's gotta play their part, let's go. It's only within you to set you free and be that sovereign soul that you was meant to be. The shining light for the rest to see. So incredibly free mentally that effectively begins to spread like fire collectively. So what's the answer? What else can it be? The change must come independently by you first accepting the truth and actual objectively.